The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Headlines, it is finally Friday afternoon. It is September 4th, and it is approximately 3:40 p.m. Eastern. We want to welcome our Facebook Live audience to the broadcast. Again, we are live here on Facebook. We want to welcome our podcast audience. We want to welcome our YouTube audience as well. So it is Friday. So we want to give you, I want to bring you some good news. I know a lot of times we report things that are just generally can kind of be a downer, or, you know, because after all, it is the end times. You know, when you read the book of Revelation, it's not really a story it's not a bedtime story you sit down and read your children, you know, at bedtime. So we know we're living in perilous times. We know that we're living in trying times, and that's just the way it is. But every now and then we get these headlines like I want to share with you today that bring a refreshing, and it puts you in a good mood, and it's a good content. It's good. It's a good subject and topic to talk about to close out the week of podcasting on this Friday. And I'm going to talk about reports of revival sweeping across the East Coast. So if you're just joining us, again, we welcome you. We welcome everybody joining us for whatever platform you're joining us from. Again, if you're new to the broadcast, we welcome you. If you can, let us know where you're joining us from. Again, today we're going to be talking about the subject of revival is reportedly sweeping through the East Coast of the United States, preferably New Jersey, New York, and Boston. Before we do that, though, I want to pull up a verse of scripture that I want to show you that goes right along with what we're talking about here. And that is in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 through 29. Then I'm going to show you something out of the book of Acts, chapter 2. So if you've got a Bible, you can follow along with me. You can follow along, and I'm going to show you some stuff here. Joel 2, 28 through 29. And again, this is the Old Testament. This is the prophet Joel. He foretold a day that would come, and he said, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit," and this is obviously inspiration of the Lord speaking here. "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your old men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Again, that is a prophecy that was foretold by the prophet Joel, saying and decreeing that it would come to pass afterward. Again, we've expounded on this before, but we're going to go ahead and take you there now. If you go to the book of Acts, I did not put the scripture up there. I apologize for that. But if you want the reference to this, it is Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. Again, that's Acts 2, 14 through 21. As you can see here, I stopped at verse 16 because 17 through 21 is basically reiterating what Joel said in Joel 2, 28 through 29. But the backdrop of this is the day of Pentecost. They're all in one mind and one accord. And suddenly there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind, that filled the entire house in which they were sitting. And it was like tongues of clothing fire that set upon their heads, upon each of them, and they all spoke in other tongues. And this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that was promised to those that would tarry in the city of Jerusalem in the upper room. This was foretold by Jesus in the Gospels. He told his disciples to tarry in the city of Jerusalem and wait for the promise upon high. This was poured out in Acts chapter 2. So this is being poured out, and Peter, listen to what it says, "And Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said unto them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known unto you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose," because there was many there that was mocking them and saying that they were full of new wine and they were drunk because of the the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that was taking place. By the way, that still happens today in many churches for those that are ignorant of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and so on and so forth. Listen, he says, these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is present tense. Now, he says this is, and he was speaking of that present hour. You can see that on your screen. I underlined that for you. If you'd like to underline that, please do so. Highlight it in your scripture, in your Bible, in the New Testament, in the book of, again, this is Acts 2, 14 through 21. That is verse 16. He said, but this is speaking in reference to what they were seeing, what they were hearing, and what they were experiencing. He says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, again, what was spoken by the prophet Joel? Remember, Joel said, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and it will impact sons and daughters that will prophesy. Old men shall be impacted. They will dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. And he says, in those days, I will pour out my spirit upon men and maid servants. I will pour out my spirit in those days. So Peter stands up and he says to the people, what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're experiencing is exactly what the prophet Joel said was going to happen. Now, why am I saying this? Because there's a lot of preachers, Pentecostal, charismatic, you know, different denominations that still preach and teach that the events of Joel 2:28 and 29 are a future event. They say this is going to happen, but I'm here to tell you, based on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, with on the contextual agreement of the scripture here, this event that Joel foretold was initiated on Acts chapter 2. Now listen to me, but it's still happening. It is still going on today. In other words, God did not stop pouring out his spirit in the fourth century as many teach and preach. It did not be done away with the last apostle, the apostle John, in the fourth century. No, it is still going on. God is still pouring out his spirit on sons and daughters. Older folks like myself and younger folks are all being impacted. Men and women are being impacted by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in foreign countries, Africa. It's happening in China, believe it or not. It's happening in Iran. It's happening in Syria. It's happening in Lebanon. It's happening in places outside of the United States of America. And it is happening even in America. Now, it may not be happening on a mass scale and a large event, but there is pockets of outpouring that's taking place. Now, I want to say this before we move on. The Bible never uses the term revival. It does use a term called refreshing. I want to say that again. The Bible, when you study the New Testament, it does not use the word revival. The word revival derives from the word revive, and it actually means to breathe life on, or breathe fresh air, or to recoup, or to resuscitate something. It's the picture of it is like a runner or a boxer. Let me use an illustration of a boxer. A boxer gets the wind knocked out of him. He collapses on the floor of the ring, and then it's almost like he's out for the count, and all of a sudden he gets a recoup of breath. He recovers. It's a recovery of breath. He's refreshed. He's restored. He's revived. And this is where we get the picture. This is where we paint the picture of revival. It is God breathing on dry bones. Come on, somebody. That look dead. They look apathetic. They look lifeless. They look complacent. They look lukewarm. And God steps in supernaturally through the Holy Spirit, and he breathes life into them, like you see in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37 with with the prophet speaking the dry bones come alive. So that's where we get the, and you can find this in Acts chapter 3, by the way, when Peter stands up again, the second time he stands up, and he says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing, there's the word, may come from the presence of the Lord. So again, we could, by saying this, what I'm about to tell you, it brings no harm to the scripture, but we could say, repent, therefore, that times of revival may come from the presence of the Lord, because I've showed you revival and refreshing, they go hand in hand. They're really the one and the same. It's just a play on words. We don't want to, we could go back and forth on semantics of words, but that's just, it's just a different terminology, but same understanding. A report according to CBN News and other affiliates is saying that worship leaders, Sean Foyt and Dr. Charles Kuruku, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, with International Outreach Church, has brought outdoor revival or refreshing meetings to New Jersey, New York, and Massachusetts. Through rain and all, worshipers are still gathering in Lincoln Park, New Jersey, where they recently gathered, where the faith leaders shared a message of peace and hope. Quote, we feel like this rain delay is only making us even more hungry and more passionate, Foyt declared. Quote, this is the stuff worship dreams are made of. One of the attendees that was present there was seen carrying a sign that said, worship is warfare. And I think we got, there's a lot of pictures and videos circulate on social media, by the way, guys, you can find this. It is a testament to the belief that America is facing an escalating spiritual battle these days. The movement continued in New York City last Saturday night, where spontaneous baptisms took place in public fountains of the iconic Washington Square Park. I want to say that again. That is powerful. Let me say that again. Spontaneous, this is in New York City. Of all places, New York City. Spontaneous baptisms. You say, what the heck is spontaneous baptisms? It means it was not scheduled. It was not planned. It was not orchestrated. And it was not part of the program. It means that God showed up. The Spirit of God started moving. No doubt a spirit of repentance came over the people, and people were led by the Holy Spirit to be baptized spontaneously. I've been in services where there has been spontaneous baptisms, where I'm talking about men in suits, men in nice attire, women wearing nice dresses, nice makeup, had their hair done. But God starts moving. God shows up in the place. And all of a sudden, it's like a bomb goes off in the place. And people are moved by the Holy Spirit. And they're drawn by the Spirit of God. Many of them running to the altars in repentance. Many of them crying out for more of God. Many of them getting spontaneously delivered from drugs, from alcohol, from pornography, from prostitution, from all kinds of sins, of bondages, and abominations. But in many cases, there's been cases where people has come and they have a baptismal pool set up maybe in the church, or if you're at a park or you're somewhere like this, for example, they're in New York City at a park and there is a fountain there that can be used for baptisms, and people were being drawn by the Spirit of God and they were spontaneously baptized into Christ. Come on, somebody, that's good news. Anytime somebody gets saved, anytime somebody gets delivered, anytime somebody gets set free, anytime somebody gets filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost or gets baptized, you and I should be rejoicing. We should be cheering them on. Come on, somebody, despite their denomination, despite whether or not they may be of our affiliation or our background, or we may not agree with the type of worship they sing, or we don't like them because they've got long hair and we've got short hair, or we've got long hair and they've got short hair, or or they wear makeup, we don't wear makeup, they wear pants and we wear dresses, or vice versa. Come on, my Bible says that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner that gets saved. But many people will poo-poo a move of God, something similar like this, or maybe it's happening in your church, happening in your community, happening in your city. We will neglect it, or we will reject it, because it may not look and sound like what we expected it to, or the revival that we came up in, or the move of God that we were touched in, or how we got saved, or how we got baptized in the Holy Ghost, or how we got baptized. And because it's different, or because it's a new wineskin, we quickly become pharisaical and we reject it. I don't want to be guilty of that. Now, I'm not saying that we're to be blind and we're to be ignorant and we're not to be good Bereans and use discernment and we're not to look at the fruit. But so far, since this thing has started on the beaches of the East Coast, I've been keeping an eye on this thing, and I've not seen anything that has caused concern for me. If anything, I have seen where people has testified of being saved, being baptized, being delivered. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about thousands of people gathering in worship and prayer and getting into this move of God. I'm telling you, friends, if we see another third great awakening in this country, I'm telling you right now, you might as well go ahead and mark my words. I'm telling you, it is not going to look or sound like anything more than likely that we have ever experienced. I remember, if you go back and you study the first and second great awakenings, there were so many different manifestations of the Spirit of God. I'm talking about that took place in the first and second great awakenings, and even revivals, I call them revival embers, that kind of spurred off of that, of those awakenings. If that was to happen today, many people would write it off as not a move of God. I'm talking about people slain in the Spirit. I'm talking about people shaking under the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about people spontaneously being baptized in water. People, hundreds spontaneously baptized in the Holy Ghost, like Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Come on, I'm talking about moves like that. I'm talking about where the Spirit of God shows up and ruins your plans and your programs. And you know what's really sad? And I've taught this for years. Every time a move of God has ever showed up in the past, you can go all the way back to the book of Acts and read it there. Every time a move of God ever showed up, the common people embraced it, but the religious people rejected it. Go back and look at the book of Acts. Who was rejecting the move of the Spirit of God? Not the common people. The common people were showing up at the hour of prayer and getting delivered and being healed and being set free. The common people were showing up at the pool of Bethesda and waiting for an angel to stir the waters, and they were jumping in and getting healed and delivered. The common people were pressing through the crowd despite whether or not the fear of them being exposed and being stoned and being killed or being brought before the Pharisaical council. Those were the common people. But the Pharisees, the Sanhedrins, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the Sanhedrin, they were the one rejecting the move of God. They were persecuting the apostles. They were imprisoning the apostles. They were beating the apostles. They were stoning the apostles. Come on, the apostle Paul, whom the Bible once called Saul, was one who was leading the movement. Come on, he was on the outside opposing a move of God until he got impacted by a move of God. I'm going to say it again. He was on the outside opposing a move of God until he got impacted by a move of God. And the very thing that he once was, he walked away from. He said, I count it all dung, but to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Come on, you may be watching this today or listening to this today, and you refute, reject, and despise any move of God that begins to take place. But I'm telling you, it'll be a, you'll be singing a different tune if the Spirit of God impacts you. And I've said it for years, there's some things that has to be caught and not taught. I can teach this all day long, but until you experience a move of God or the Spirit of God, it's just going out one ear and out the other. I mean, my goodness, even when the Apostle Paul stood at trial, every time he stood by trial, he began to testify of what happened to him. I was given papers to go and persecute the church of God, to drag them out of homes, to shut down the churches, to put them in prison. He said, I was on my road to Damascus. I was doing what I knew to do, and everything in me thought it was the right thing to do. Come on, there's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end, it's the way of death. Religion is packaged so good, and it looks good, and it feels good, but it is nothing but death. Come on, despite what these polls have said, where a majority of people think that they can get to heaven by good works alone, my friend, I've come by to burst your bubble today and tell you there ain't enough good that we can do. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, because we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. If there was anybody that should have never been saved, it was me. I rejected God. I was despising God. I was opposed to God, and I was on my way to hell. And if I would have died, I would have split hell wide open. But I thank God for a God who is slow to anger, and he is quick to forgive, quick to shower me with mercy. And he reached down with his saving arm, and he pulled me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock and established my goings. Who am I talking to today? I know that we're supposed to be doing a podcast today, and I'm supposed to be telling you about a revival, but I feel a preaching spirit coming on me today. This movement has continued in New York City, and there has been spontaneous baptisms in the iconic Washington Square Park. This place is filled with people about to get baptized in the fountains of Washington Square Park. Some of them just got saved, and some are rededicating. Come on, glory to God. Dr. Kuruku described the occasion as a, quote, move of God after 29 people were baptized on Saturday night in New York City, including a family of five. Could you imagine the mother, the father, and three other kids all coming to New York City? Did they show up for the move of God? Did they show up because they heard this was happening? Or were they just walking in New York City and just doing whatever, and all of a sudden they see all this going on and they're drawn by the Spirit? Because the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But nevertheless, the whole family of five came and gave their heart to the Lord and got baptized. He said, we baptized an entire family of five. It was awesome. They all gave their lives to Christ, and they came to be baptized. Friends, you could say, well, I don't believe it's a move of God, Brother Ricky. Well, last time I checked, the devil ain't leading people to be spontaneously baptized in the water fountains, leading whole families to the Lord. Come on, somebody. Jesus said, you'll know the fruit. This is fruit. This move transpired only just days after Dr. Kuruku was in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Notice that too. I love this. These guys are not running from the darkness. They're running to the darkness. Golly, I got to say it again. These guys, say what you will about them, but they're not running from the darkness. They're running to the darkness. That's interesting, because the Bible says you are a city set upon a hill. You're not to be a lamp that's set under a bushel. He said, let your light so shine among men that they may see your works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We want to light up a city. We want to light up a region. We want to light up, come on, where we're at. Come on, we got to let our light shine. Listen to this. I got to read this again. This moon transpired only just days after Dr. Kuroku was in Kenosha, Wisconsin, leading the, quote, riots to revival movement, where baptisms and worship reportedly filled the streets following violence and protests that rocked the city. And I love this because, again, I've always said this too. The devil always shows his hand first, but God has the last word. So they showed up. Because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual darkness and wickedness in heavenly places. So the enemy comes in, what? To kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So we need some faith to rise up in us and say, all right, devil, if you want to keep making a mess of our cities, keep destroying our cities, keep burning down things and keep tearing up things, then we're just going to keep praying harder, keep travailing harder, keep interceding harder, and until the heavens open and God pours out his spirit in the streets and spontaneous baptisms are happening like this, families are getting saved, drunkards are walking by, and they run and get in on this thing. Prostitutes run and get on this thing. Come on, somebody. And the move of God just begins to sweep through the streets. Notice it's not in a church. I'm all about churches. I have nothing against churches. I'm a part of a church. I'm submitted to a church here in Georgia. I'm under a pastor here. And I'm submitted under his authority because that's biblical. I'm not refuting and I'm not attacking churches. But again, there comes a time we got to get up off the floor and go out the door. So this is the move of God not happening in the four walls of the traditional church, but they're bringing church out of the four walls and bringing it to the darkness, bringing it to where the enemy has sowed destruction. Quote, a revival is when God begins to tug on the hearts of people and call them back to repentance. This was from Kuroku. In case you're wondering what they're preaching, well, I don't know what they're preaching, so I don't know if it's a move of God. Let me give you that quote again. Kuroku said, a revival is when God begins to tug on the hearts of people and call them back to repentance. If you don't agree with that, then you don't agree with the words of the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 3, who said, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, that times of revival or refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. He says, when God begins to be the first love of his people, that is the spark of love in the hearts. It is the revival of the hearts. The worship event was said to fill the streets of Boston on Sunday. Look at that. New Jersey, New York, and then Boston. It says, then that's when the Holy Spirit drew even more people to give their lives to Christ. Again, what are we talking about? We're talking about a move of God that is sweeping through multiple states in the northeast and eastern parts of the United States, New Jersey, New York, and now Boston. So I want to encourage you guys today. Listen, I don't know what denomination you may be a part of or what you may be affiliated with, but let me go back to the pool of Bethesda again, the illustration. In the book of Acts, there was a pool of Bethesda in which the backdrop of this is that there was a certain season in which an angel of God came and stirred up the waters. And when the waters were stirred, when the people got in on it, they were healed and they were delivered of whatever ailment they were dealing with. Guys, if this is truly a move of God, and the waters of revival are being stirred. Listen, if you're listening to this podcast or you're watching by YouTube, watching by Facebook, and you say, well, there's never a move of God up north, or there's never one on the East Coast. There's never one in New York or New Jersey or Boston. Guys, this is where you need to get in. If the waters are being stirred, don't wait. Get in on this thing. Have faith and believe. Listen, I have nothing to gain from this. I don't even personally know these guys. I'm not affiliated with them. I don't know what denomination they're a part of. I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me. All I care about is Jesus being glorified. Is he being preached? Is souls being delivered? Is people being healed? Come on, somebody. Is Jesus being lifted up and people being drawn unto him. And from all the evidence I've seen, the videos, the articles, the testimonies, I believe God is stirring something up. And if you're anywhere in that region, friends, I'm telling you, you need to get in on this thing. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to find us, God. Endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. Listen, I got some announcements I want to make. Please do not. I know people, as soon as we start on this, they start dropping out. We've got a major announcement for our ministry. So, and it deals with, just listen up for just a second. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com is our main website. If you are one who typically receive our daily digest, and what that is, it comes through in the email, and you get that every single day, and it gives you the links to the stories in which we share throughout the day. If you're one of those individuals, we've got bad news and good news. The bad news is we have stopped the digest. Now, the good news is it's been replaced. We've stopped the digest and we've replaced it because now this thing has been up and going long enough that we feel like now it's a time to transition. So we have transitioned from the daily digest to the app. Now you say, well, why are we doing this? I like the digest. Because guys, listen. The app is 100 times better. Let me explain to you why. And it's, first of all, it's free. Second of all, you can have it on Android and Apple. Every single person, I can guarantee you 99% of every individual that's listening or watching to this broadcast, you have an Android or an Apple phone in your hand. Listen, there's no excuse. Well, I can't afford it. It's free. Well, I can't download another app because I don't have the space. Guys, I have this app downloaded on my phone, and it only uses about 58.7 megabytes. That is very low. It doesn't take up much space. Now, here's why it's better than the digest. Number one, you're going to get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective like you have. Number two, you're going to get push notifications when you sign up for that, when you get the app. So every time we have a breaking news alert, you won't get it tomorrow in your email. You'll get it right then. So if something happens right now, you're going to get that right now when we post that. When we share our podcast, that when we upload this on YouTube and on podcast, you're going to get alerted to that. And you're going to know every time a new message is available. You're going to have everything right there at your hands. The articles, the podcast, the YouTube channel, you'll be able to support our ministry. Everything's going to be right there. So we just think it is just more feasible to do this. I have been thinking about this for a while, and I felt like this, and we did a poll this morning on our ETH Facebook page, and we asked everybody, and the huge majority of individuals said that they are now with the app and not the digest. And again, I know there's always going to be a small group of people that would rather have the email, but we apologize for that, but that's just the way technology is. It's always advancing. But I'm telling you, if you'll download the app, I really do believe you will enjoy it. Now, as always, we want to give you the opportunity. Again, all this is free, guys. It doesn't cost you anything. The messages are free. The digest, or the app is free. Everything is free for you guys. All we ask you to do is, if this message is a continual source of blessing, information, and revelation to you, and you would like to give back and sow into this ministry and help us to remain strong and active doing what we're doing, not just in America, but outside of America and all around the world, reaching people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, with information, revelation, and so on and so forth. If you'd like to do that, if you'd like to be a part of this, either a one-time gift or maybe become a monthly partner, you can do that by going to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org or endtimeheadlines.com. If you've got the app, go down to the bottom. At the bottom right, there's a place that says donate. Click on that, and you can click that, and it's going to bring you to a page where you can give electronically, or again, you can give by check or money order at Endtime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that is Monroe, Georgia, at 30655. So, as always, guys, I just want to thank you for taking the time out to close out this podcast and this week. It is Friday. I pray the blessings of the Lord upon you for this weekend. May he keep you. May his favor be upon you. May he keep you from any harm, danger, any disabling accidents. I pray that the Lord will continue to prosper you and your family. And may everything that you lay your hands to do prosper. And may nothing be impossible unto you. I bind every assignment that's orchestrated or perpetrated against you or your family. And I declare that it will not prosper. In Jesus' name, and God's people said amen and amen. So, guys, we're going to sign off today. We will see you back on Monday, Lord willing. Until then, God bless you. We'll see you.